The opinions and views expressed in this program are those of the participants and do not reflect the official positions of Lansing Community College, its administration, or WLNZ.
Crawl out from under your bridges, because it's time for Trolling the Mitten. Your favorite local comedy podcast where we bring you the best and brightest from the Great Lakes State. I'm your host, Errol Gribble, a Michigan Reconnect student here at Lansing Community College in the Digital Media, Audio, and Cinema program, where, just like in nature, stars are forged through exposure to pressure and a lot of hot air. Y'all, welcome back to the show. I am humbled, honored, and honestly kind of shocked that I persuaded our guest star to join us today. As regular listeners know, a lot of my guests are actors and comedians I've worked with IRL. But today's guest, Ms. Catherine Palomino, was actually my public speaking instructor right here at LCC. I mean, I guess that's proof she's a great teacher, considering she taught me how to give a persuasive speech. And you know what? She is great. Kate is amazing. I dare you. Check out her Rate My Professor page. This woman is an academic rock star. But also, and more importantly for this show, she's a stand-up comedian. Right here in the Great Lakes State, mostly around Grand Rapids where she lives, but she's worth a commute across the state if you don't live there. This woman is hilarious. And I gotta be honest, between you and me, and I guess everyone else who listens to this episode, that's the real reason I took her class. I figured if I bugged her enough, she'd be on my show. And I was right! Now, of course, it was the greatest decision I've ever made for the shallowest reason ever. Catherine Palomino really is an incredible educator. Kate integrates performance and engagement into student-centered academic instruction. I mean, she's got nearly three decades of experience in the Michigan education system. She has two master's degrees, a certification. She's done TED Talks. Like, I have never met a comedian who likes school this much or at all. But Kate Palomino is a unicorn, and we are lucky to have found her. Today, the character she's playing, the setting, the insanity, it's all from her brain. She's playing Miss Margie Clute from Hudsonville, Michigan. Now, living on the west side of the state is a specific experience, especially for the more progressive amongst us. Some real quick history. A huge number of Dutch colonists immigrated here from the Netherlands in the 1800s, settled around Grand Rapids, Hudsonville, and Holland. What a coincidence, crossing an ocean to end up right back at home. But remember, these folks aren't fleeing religious persecution, although they might argue differently. They're fleeing progressivism. They literally seceded from the National Church of the Netherlands in 1834, called themselves the Christian Seceded Church, praised for its fervent spirit and stern orthodoxy, and immigrated to the U.S. I mean, these are folks who came to America to resist change. Welcome to the melting pot, baby. So it's a surprise to no one that they seceded again in 1882 in reaction to Americanization. They called themselves the Christian Reformed Church, whose appeal was its Dutchness, upheld by the motto, "In isolation is our strength." Now, Kate, on the other hand, taught us how to give a persuasive speech by telling us the story of how she came out to her family. I mean, we're talking about an out-and-proud lesbian comedian whose fashion sense resembles a sexy Mr. Smee. So you can imagine she might have some strong opinions against exclusion, as do I. And for the record, as does Grand Rapids. Grand Rapids has an incredibly inclusive and progressive community. It is an amazing city that everyone should visit, but I do admire the tenacity of some of us trolls here. Although the goats above the bridge are even more stubborn. But I admire even more Ms. Catherine Palomino's ability to completely embody and completely eviscerate that stubbornness. So I hope you enjoy my completely improvised interview with Margie Clute, wedding planner, as much as I did. No script, no rehearsal, no problem. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are super excited today. We're actually in Hudsonville, Michigan, out on the West Coast, Michigan's West Coast, just a reminder, here at a beautiful little church, part of the Dutch Reformed movement, I'm sure. And with us today is Margie Clute.
Hello.
Hello, Margie.
It's an honor to be here.
Margie, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks you for having us all the way out here. It's a lovely basement you got. I do see there's a lot of stuff still like stacked up, ready to set up. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you already stated, my name is Margie Kloot.
And very Dutch. That name's got to be Dutch.
It's very Dutch. Yeah, yeah. I come from a line of Kloots that are actually from the greater Hudsonville area.
Oh.
Yeah.
How great is the greater Hudsonville area?
Well, there's about three families.
Oh, wow.
And we're all interrelated, but sure. I am 100% Kloot on my mom and dad's side.
Okay. That's fantastic. Good. And you all come up over from the old country, from the Netherlands?
Originally, we came from the Netherlands. Okay. It was a little too liberal there.
Oh.
And so we reestablished in West Michigan.
I did hear. Okay. Yeah.
And don't always feel good about Holland here in the States, just like we don't feel good about Holland in Europe.
Oh, wow. There's a little contention with our local Holland, Michigan.
There is, only because of the name association.
Oh. You still got a grudge against the old Holland.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. You really do. You're a spitfire of an old lady. Might I ask, how young are you, Margie?
I am not as old as you think.
Oh.
It's probably my outfit. I'm very conservative.
Very. That skirt goes all the way down.
It sure does. Yeah. It sure does. Thank you for noticing.
Of course.
I am a ripe 37.
You do? Okay. Do the Dutch like moisturizer or
it depends.
Skincare?
It depends. We do not believe in testing on animals.
Sure.
So,
good for you.
Yeah, right. So
That's actually pretty liberal.
It is very liberal. Well, we don't like testing lotion on animals, I should say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want to clarify that.
All right.
Yeah.
So what are we doing here today, Margie? Where are we, first of all?
Well, we are at the Dutch Reformed 37th Reformed Church of Hudsonville.
Okay, 37th Reformed. That's a lot of reforming.
There are lots of options in Hudsonville, but this one is part of our family.
Okay.
I have been part of this church since I was born, even before I was born. I will say that I grew up in the church, involved with cadets, involved with all of the things that could get me prepared for serving the Lord as a lady.
Oh, but hold on. Let me back up for our listeners. What's a cadet? It's not a military cadet. This is in the church's...
Correct.
The war of God.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Cadets and GEMS. Cadets is the youth group for boys, and the GEMS are the youth group for girls. So we are raised properly in our sex role stereotypes about how we should behave as we get older, and I'm thankful for it.
So you're a fan of the binary.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Like there's men and women, and you don't see a lot of gray.
Absolutely. Absolutely. God created man, God created woman, and I don't see any other options.
All right. Okay. If you're interested, you might even want to listen to some of my other episodes. There are other options out there, but that's okay. Well, I'm just here to learn about you. So what is the Reformed Church? For those of us who don't know, for our listeners, there was a big conglomeration of Dutch folk who moved out here because it was too liberal in the Netherlands.
Yes.
But you were the Reformed Church already?
The Reformed Church, yes, and there's two sections of it. There's the Reformed Church and there's the Christian Reformed Church, and we are Reformed. And I don't want to be...
Does that mean you're not Christian?
No, that absolutely it means we are Christian.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
In fact, we're more Christian.
Put that down. It's cool.
We're more Christian than anyone else.
Oh, because you take the word out, that makes you more Christian than everyone else.
That is one way to look at it.
How do you become more Christian than other people?
Well, I'll tell you right now that we are loyal to our families, and we are loyal to our communities, and we stand in protest with things we don't believe in, and we are committed to preaching the word of God wherever we go, unless that means going into scary parts of the big city.
Oh, let's talk about you and how Christian you are.
Correct.
You have a business, or is this volunteer work?
It's volunteer. Okay. They've offered to pay me, but I have said no, that I want that money to just go right back to the church. When I graduated from Christian high school, I enrolled in GRCC.
What's that?
Grand Rapids Community College.
Shout out to all the community colleges out there.
And I will tell you, college is not for everyone. I saw a lot of smoking, a lot of scantily clad women, and no, so
not after, acting like gems.
Not at all acting like gems.
Okay.
Not at all. And I was there for about a semester, was trying to decide what I wanted to do, and I realized what I wanted to do was back in Hudsonville and did not require me to use a degree. I had many friends that went to CC and then went on to Grand Valley and graduated. That's not for me. Okay. So I ended up staying with my family in Hudsonville and was given an opportunity, mostly because I was always just hanging around the church.
Oh, okay.
And so they said, we have opportunity for you to serve couples getting married. And that intrigued me because even though I am not married yet, I
want... Ripe 37.
Correct.
Tick, tick, tick.
I know. I'm working on it. There aren't very many single available eligible bachelors in Hudsonville. Yeah. Most of them have been married since they were 17 years old.
Sure. That makes sense.
And I missed out. So now
How did that happen? What... Was there just the ratio was bad in high school?
It's a little too personal for me to share.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And I feel like if I engage further with you on that, that violates a boundary of who I am as a woman and who I will be given to when I marry the man of my dreams.
No, I don't want to tarnish the gem.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, go ahead. My apologies.
Thank you. So they have given me the opportunity to serve married couples by being the coordinator and host.
Okay.
Of the church basement a la basketball gym with carpet.
Yeah.
To host the receptions, which is a very, very traditional and very, very common way that young married couples in Hudsonville celebrate their marriage with a reception in the church basement afterwards.
No, absolutely. My sister herself got married in our Episcopalian church basement.
Episcopalian, huh?
You know what? Don't worry about it. I'm not super connected to it, so if that offends you, don't worry about it.
I'm not offended. I just forget that other parts of Christianity exist outside of the Dutch Reformed Church.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Dutch are pretty isolationist, huh?
We like our independence and our alone time from everyone else, and we will take that as far as we can, as the Lord has told us to.
I have to admit, when I was coming into town, my Google Maps was taking me places, and about 5 miles outside of town, I got some real stares, not friendly stares from folks.
Well, if you're not from here, we know.
Yeah, that was the look. I saw somebody like a finger across the throat. It was a little scary, but that's working for y'all out here.
It's how we've always done it, and it's how we always will do it.
Yeah, you know, just a small suggestion. Maybe a little less alone time. Mm-hmm. There might be more gentlemen you could marry.
I'll consider it, but sure. I want to marry my own kind, even if that means my own family.
Okay, so you're essentially a wedding planner.
That is correct. That is correct.
That's fantastic. You know, folks make a good amount of money for that. Do folks pay the church what normal wedding planners would get paid?
Yes, they pay the church, and usually they pay the fees for the food and the drink that we have there. But again, as I said, I don't take any of the money. I give it all right back to the Lord.
Amen, sister. Like, can I ask? Is it like what's a package usually cost?
Oh, if you're part of the church, then you get a good discount.
I'd hope so.
And it's very affordable. Usually $300 for a 2-hour time slot with cake and punch.
Ooh, all right. Now, do you do a full meal or is it just cake and punch?
We usually don't do a full meal. Oh, we have on occasion, it's becoming more popular, done a ham bun. Ham bun and potato salad is the extent of our meals, but that seems to do just fine with the mince and nuts and cake and punch we serve.
Good. So for the folks who may not be as embedded in the Midwest as I am, can you explain what a ham... I think we call them ham sliders in my family.
Ham sliders? Ham bun?
Ham bun.
What is a ham slider from where you're from? Maybe it's the same.
Well, you know, it's ham. It's on a Hawaiian bun, the little tiny Hawaiian buns. Yes. And, you know, there's some sort of cheese and spread.
Yeah.
I don't know the recipe.
Well,
what's your recipe?
It's similar, but that sounds a little wild.
Oh.
What we usually have.
My apologies.
Our traditional ham bun that we serve at our weddings, and is, as I said, very popular, is ham on a regular white roll with butter.
On a regular white roll. Where are these sourced from?
Meaning not, you said Hawaiian roll?
Yeah. Like
we
the
don't
Hawaiian
do
buns?
Exotic rolls like that.
Oh.
No, we usually go to Steenstra's Bakery, and they've been making them for us for years.
Oh, okay. So like locally produced buns.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely. Right there in Hudsonville.
That is fancy. Yeah. And then it's ham, and what else is on there?
Butter.
Okay. Okay, yeah, this feels very traditional.
Yeah,
this is a big, did people like this?
People love it. I will tell you right now, I don't want to mess with a recipe.
No, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That is correct.
Right.
That's correct.
Very Dutch a way of thinking.
Yes.
So what are you going to plan for us today? What are we doing today?
Well, I'm going to tell you about a few different couples that I've worked with and tell you and have you help me set up for the wedding that we're doing tomorrow.
That sounds great.
Yes.
All right.
So very briefly, the first couple I ever planned the wedding for was Evan and Tara.
Uh-huh.
And I've known them since they were kids.
Oh, for
I've
sure.
known them since they were kids. And some might say they're still kids because they're 18. right. But they were exciting to plan.
A liquor store would still call them children. They would not be able to buy alcohol.
No one's buying alcohol.
Oh, these are dry weddings, of course.
No one is buying alcohol in Hudsonville.
Oh, is it a dry county or is it just by tradition or by law?
It is by tradition and by law on Sundays. Of course, no one's drinking. No one's certainly buying alcohol on the Lord's Day.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. So they got married and it was a lovely wedding. Okay. It's very, very simple and everyone was happy. And it is now, 17 years later and they are happily married still.
Wow, way to go.
Yeah. Another couple that we married were Jake and Sarah.
Jake and Sarah.
Jake moved to our church when he was little. His grandparents had been here forever. And when they moved in, he immediately became friends with Sarah. And they have been together literally since third grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how long ago did you marry those two?
They were married, let me think here. They were married 13 years ago.
Oh, wow.
13 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. But the couple we're marrying tomorrow is a special situation.
Oh, great, yes.
Because they are actually from Holland, Michigan.
Oh.
So they had to get special permission to be married in our church and special permission to have a reception in the church.
Oh, wow. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And they have family that's part of the church. And I don't know the situation at their own church. It's very strange to me that they wouldn't just get married in their own church. But they're getting married. And that couple, of course, is Nate and Bree.
That's
yes.
my favorite cheese. So tell me about Nate and Bree.
Nate and Bree.
They are outsiders, first of all.
They're outsiders.
So you're probably not used to doing a lot of weddings with outsiders.
No. I've had to do a little studying and research and spend some time with them to make sure that I'm comfortable serving cake and punch at their reception.
Uh-huh.
Nate and Bree went to different high schools, which is already crazy.
Yeah.
And then they met going on a mission trip together at church.
Oh, so they are good Christian kids.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yes, of
course. Where's their mission trip? Do you know?
Their mission trip, they went to Guatemala. Guatemala. And I saw pictures of it, and it looked like they were loving on the children and also rode horses on the beach, which I think is also lovely for God's creation.
Yeah. Not sure how much that helps the people of Guatemala, but that's okay.
I agree. But they're happily in love.
Good.
And we will let them get married here.
Yeah. Well, all right. So what does a traditional wedding look like?
A traditional wedding at 37th Reformed of Hudsonville typically involves people dressed up very, very fancy. It's an opportunity for people to get really dressed up.
Wow, okay.
As much as they would for Sunday church, which is a lot.
Okay, which looks like what? Like tails, top hats,
canes? Quite tails and top hats, but definitely the very finest suits from our local tailor in Hudsonville.
Oh, very good.
And dresses that are usually custom handmade by the local women in town.
Okay.
Yeah, people like to support the local businesses.
Which is amazing.
It is amazing.
Folks, buy local.
Absolutely.
Think global.
Absolutely. And one of the things we really like about that is that many of the men and women end up dressing exactly alike.
Oh.
Because they all have the same tailors. And we like that look.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we like that look.
Yeah, I was going to ask, does your tailor sort of stay up to date with like the modern trends, the modern fashions?
I think it's all dependent on your definition of modern. We indeed like traditions, as I've made pretty clear.
Yeah.
And so we don't really look at fancy magazines or too far outside of Hudsonville for what's popular.
Okay. So like you would say you embody the fashion of Hudsonville.
Absolutely.
Like, the like very long dress.
Yes. Like what I'm wearing now with Peter Pan collar, everything.
Yes.
Yes.
So what's the plan for these kids? We play a little music. They walk down the aisle.
Yep. We play the traditional music. We have our
solos.
What's
the traditional music?
The traditional music is the canon in D.
Oh, very good.
Yes,
okay.
Very common. Yes. And some people like to get fancy and have it on the organ, but we prefer just the piano.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And it's very simple processional with the people in their wedding.
Uh-huh.
The bulk part of the wedding usually is the sermon reminding the couple, in this case, you know, Nate and Bree, of the responsibilities of the husband, the responsibilities of the wife.
Sure.
And that none of those responsibilities should cross over.
God forbid.
God forbid.
Do they ever use the phrase cadet and gem in the sermon?
I don't know if I've heard that other than potentially how couples met.
One was a cadet, she was a gem.
Yes.
Now, these two, our new couple, mm-hmm. were they in the program or are they a different denomination altogether?
No. They are definitely Dutch Reformed.
Okay.
But they were from a different church and they were not as involved in the youth group when they were younger as much as they became more involved as they got older. And they actually went on a mission trip together when they were in high school.
And that's
no longer Gems and Cadets.
Oh, okay. Gems and Cadets is little ones.
Correct.
Sure.
Correct.
The indoctrination starts early.
That is correct.
Good for you.
That is correct.
All right. So while they're up there getting married, what are we doing down here?
So down here, we're making sure all the tables are opened and set up and the folding chairs are all set. We like to keep it simple.
Yeah.
We keep it simple.
These are metal folding chairs.
Metal folding chairs. Yeah. So we've used them for years.
Yeah, these look very used.
Yes. They're traditional. They're worn in. That's what people like about us.
Okay.
We also put a very simple decoration on each table,
oh, cool.
which is a small bouquet of flowers and a picture of the Lord.
Not the couple.
No.
Now the picture of the Lord, is that what is
Jesus?
That,
Jesus.
Is that on the cross or is it like?
No.
Just
no,
like
no,
holding
no.
the baby.
It's just like a senior picture of Jesus.
Oh,
one
I
would
see.
Say.
Oh, sure. A headshot.
A headshot. Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes. Because we want to make sure everyone is reminded.
Right.
Of who the focus is on.
Right, because it's really a marriage between three people.
That is correct.
So if you think about it, in a way, like the Dutch Reformers, every marriage is like a ménage à trois, you know? It's a throuple.
I'm not familiar with those words. I don't know anything about the French. And I would say that Jesus is indeed the glue that brings all the couples together and, frankly, keeps them together.
And now, do you have a lot of divorce? I know divorce is a bit of an epidemic. Do you have a lot of couples not stay together?
Sadly, there is more divorce than I would like to admit.
Yeah.
Especially because they go through this whole effort of the church and they have a beautiful reception with cake and punch, and then it doesn't last.
I wonder why.
I don't know. We're becoming much more open-minded as a collective people in the church to be accepting of divorcees because it's not always someone's fault if they are cheated on by someone.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. Of you to say. And in fact, I actually just read about the first Christian Reformed Church.
Oh.
So not the 37th.
Correct.
But they were one of the founding churches in Grand Rapids, and they have recently left the Calvinist denomination in hopes of being a little more inclusive.
There is some controversy about what is tradition and what is not tradition, and we're going to keep ourselves in our spot. We are not going to move anywhere on how we feel about things. If it was written in the Bible thousands of years ago, we still believe it now.
Okay, so are you stoning people who like are...
Not as much as we used to.
Okay.
But I will say we have been known to ask people to leave the church if they ever do something that we don't agree with.
Like what? What would that be?
Well, one time a woman wore pants to church.
Oh, no.
Yes, and it was not pretty. It was awkward for all of us and uncomfortable. And so a group of us got together and decided to go to the pastor. And we told Pastor Jelsema, we said, you need to do something about this. We don't want to bring these radical women into our church if they're going to dress like that.
Okay. So there's no need to or desire to like step out as the bride and like choose a fashion that might set yourself apart.
We don't really believe in being the superstar of your own life. We believe in keeping it focused on the Lord.
But in a way that like conforms with everybody else.
That is correct.
Okay, got it. Well, here's hoping everything gets a little more inclusive. It's interesting because of course, as we know, Calvin, he's famous for saying that all salvation is through Jesus. And
that is correct.
And like that nothing can keep you from God's, that God is eternally forgiving. And it doesn't matter what you do.
Well.
Whether it's pants or.
Well.
Sleeping in late on Sunday.
Nothing is a relative term.
For who?
Nothing can keep you from the Lord is a relative term because there are behaviors people are choosing where they should not be presenting themselves to the Lord. I will tell you,
okay.
though. I will tell you.
Please do.
That we have evolved in our thinking more than people might think.
How so?
We have added mixed nuts to the reception buffet, and not just peanuts.
Wow.
But people seem to like it. We're willing to evolve if that's what the people want.
Good for you.
Thank you. That's
evidence right there.
Thank you.
Progress is possible.
That is correct.
Was that a difficult change?
Some people left the church because of it, but I think it's the right thing to do. I thought it was the
Good
right thing
you.
To do, and I stood my ground.
You know what? Sometimes people leaving the church might be the journey that the Lord has for them.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Even if they get a little help from the congregation.
Okay. So let's jump back into these decorations
we've got here.
Do you put any like fancy things on the chairs? You know, like a wrap around the chair?
No.
Any tablecloths?
We have butcher paper that we roll down.
Oh, that's the big roll of paper.
Yes, that's the paper we have. And if you'll see over here, we have stacks and stacks of masking tape because we'll tape it underneath the table.
Okay.
So that's a bit of a tradition in our church, too.
Sure. It's easy cleanup.
Absolutely.
All right. So,
absolutely.
All right. You are really not fancy.
No. We want to make sure the focus is on the Lord.
Okay. Well, you know what? I don't want to hold you up much longer. I really want to help you set up. Before we go, though, is there any words of wisdom for the folks at home? Are you interested in inviting people to join your church?
We are not interested in inviting people to join our church.
That feels like it's against the original mission.
Well, there are other churches to be part of. If you're part of the three families that run the Hudsonville area, then you are absolutely welcome.
Okay. Outside of that, not so much.
Outside of that, we welcome you to any other church.
So, well, I'm hoping my listenership is a little bit larger. So for anybody who's not those three families, any words of advice before you go?
Always turn to the Lord and always keep the focus on the Lord and know that there may be a time to evolve, even if it's uncomfortable for you as the church reception coordinator.
Beautiful. Thank you, Margie, so much for coming on the show. Margie Clue, everybody.
Thank you.
That's all for today, Hooper Scoopers. Remember, you can listen to this and every one of our episodes on lccconnect.org, plus all your major streaming platforms. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you had as much fun as we did. And until next time, if you seek a pleasant peninsula, look about you.
Examining the issues and topics that affect our lives from the local level to the world stage. Listen to the programs of LCC Connect anytime at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Overseen by experienced LCC faculty, the Lansing Community College Massage Therapy Clinic provides an opportunity for LCC students to hone their skills. The 18-table massage facility is open to the public and provides each client with their own isolated area. Visit lcc.edu/massage for more information.
Hi, I'm Greg Laddick, and I host a show called Stars on Sports with Assistant Athletic Director Stephen Cutter here on LCC Connect. It's all about Lansing Community College Athletic Department. You can always find out more about Stars on Sports and listen on demand at lccconnect.org.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I paid more than the minimum each month, and soon enough, it was gone.
So you're just giving up?
Giving up on what?
The life of luxury. Egyptian cotton, caviar Thursdays, designer everything.
What are you talking about?
Our plan. What happened to winning the lottery and mastering the art of the perfect mimosa? Hosting galas, wearing enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacationing in the French Riviera, and then buying it.
I just thought maybe it was time to prepare for my future. You know, set some financial goals, make some smart investments, open a 401k.
Financial goals? Investments? A 401k? You are horrifying right now. Listen, if winning the lottery were easy, everyone would do it.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
A healthcare-related job training program is now offered 100% online through the LCC Job Training Center. The program prepares students for medical administrative careers and certifications, allowing them to learn at their own pace and on their own schedule. More information about the Medical Front Office Specialist Program can be found at lcc.edu/JTC.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Welcome to a psycho-delicious conversation on mental health issues and trends from two local mental health professionals in the greater Lansing area. I'm Michael Stratton, LMSW.
And I'm Morgan Bowen, DNP, PMHNP, and we're here to provide you with a deep dive into the human experience of consciousness and beyond. Our aim is to be educational and entertaining, so just kick back and open your ears and your minds.
Hey, I'm Mike Stratton.
And I'm Morgan Bowen.
And this is a psycho-delicious conversation, and we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff today. It's a very deep conversation that we're having. Morgan got a hold of me earlier in the week and suggested that we talk about healthcare and how it's going with the hearings with RFK and the vaccines and all that kind of stuff. And I suggested, well, let's make it a little broader and make it
more broad than that
and talk about how just the whole politics of today, the whole zeitgeist of fear, the atmosphere that's in the air, the fear and rage, how that's impacting our clients, how we're dealing with it and all of that kind of stuff. I threw it back to Morgan. Morgan came up with a very complete outline, very interesting, that we'll be checking in on, and I'll let you take it away, Morgan. And
well, I wanted to come up with some structure, you know, for the conversation, because this is, well, it's a large topic. It's, you know, so it, we run the danger of going off into many different directions, which is nice. I enjoy doing that. But we, you know, have a limited amount of time to talk about things. So, yeah, this week there was the Senate discussion. I don't know that they were hearings, but, you know, discussion with RFK Jr., who's the Department of Health and Human Services, the secretary. And he it wasn't him, but the head of the CDC left, and there were some questions about what happened there, as well as some concerns about changes that were made to the vaccine schedule. So I watched it, and it's striking. I mean, it's very striking. As a healthcare clinician, it's just very striking what is happening. So,
and not just that, but in the last few days, I mean, one thing that heated up was the whole Epstein file thing. The book, the birthday book to Epstein, came out, and the letter that allegedly Trump wrote is in it. And then just within the last 48 hours, Charlie Kirk is assassinated. Mm-hmm. And the killer has just been caught. I believe that happened this morning. So this puts a pin in time of where we are, mm-hmm. and how dire the news has been and how fast it's coming at us. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I do have clients who talk about just being overwhelmed.
Oh,
by
it's huge yeah. with my client base.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine. I mean, I think it's huge with everybody.
Including us.
Yeah, including us as individuals.
As though it doesn't affect us.
Oh, you guys did a whole episode on
we
that.
Did.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
did.
We
it's
did.
Been in my mind quite a bit. So, you know, I tell my clients there's so much to pay attention to. So if you can, like, pick one or two things to really pay attention to. So for me, and use that as a guide to regulate your interest, your thinking about all the things that are happening socially. So for me, one is, you know, is healthcare. That's a huge part of my profession. It's important to me, just public health, and that can mean a lot of different things. But generally, the health of our country, the health of our society, the health of the people in my community and my family, my own health. So the Department of Health and Human Services is sort of the top dog when it comes to that. So I do pay attention to what's happening there. And that's where the strikingness came from for me. And so that's what kind of got my brain a whirling.
You broke this down into like the micro level, the meso level.
Yeah. So the people, you know, if my background is very academic. You know, I'm a clinician. I see patients. I work directly with people day to day. But, you know, I have quite a wide academic background. I was woke before it was cool, and then not cool. So, and not ashamed in any way of that. And so I use, you know, my learning, and this is theory. This is, you know, lots of years put in reading and studying and being a scholar. So the micro, and I am being kind of, I don't know what the word is, flagrant about that. I think that's come into question as being, you know, of value to society. And I insist that it is. And so you may hear a little tension in my voice over that, but maybe that's part of what has triggered me this week. So, and part of mental health is being honest with where you're at, yeah. You know, so that's a piece of this for me. So we look at things on many levels when it comes to like larger system-based health. So micro things are, you know, the day-to-day of myself, the people in my family, what's happening in my micro system. And then the meso or meso system is kind of more on the community level. What are things going on with organizations in my community, clinics? You know, this is healthcare-based lens. And then macro is socially large, you know, the World Health Organization. So it can be a helpful way to, like, think about, you know, what we're talking about, which is how the larger structures in our life and in our society affect health, and in particular mental health.
One thing I think that's at stake right now is, as far as the macro level goes, I feel like it's like a question of what's real and what's not real. And that goes down to, you know, what we see on our phones, whether it's a Facebook feed or Twitter or TikTok or any number of things. And can things are AI generated in a big attempt to kind of influence us one way or the other. Who's going to dictate the narrative of what is true, what is real? And we've got a president right now who for years has been saying that is the fake news. The thing that we used to rely on, like, oh, well, it said on the news that this is what it was. We read it in the New York Times. We read it in the Washington Post. He's saying, no, that's the fake news. Don't listen to that. Listen to me. I'm the only one you should listen to. And it's been interesting with the Charlie Kirk thing of how much he's grabbed the headlines for this. He was the one who came out and announced that he had died. He was the one who announced, we've caught the killer. He's done this, you know, on television, precluding other news organizations or the way that would typically be done. He's really making a grab to kind of frame, this is what's happening, this is what it's about. So at a macro level, I think that who owns the narrative and who's going to dictate what is real, what is not real, that's, I think a lot of people are on shaky ground of like, what do I believe? And this video that I saw, is that true or is that something that's been made up or that's put on, or is it like a Russian bot that's trying to influence the next election in one way or the other? So,
well, I think that regardless of any one particular event, because there's so many events. I mean, Charlie Kirk's death is terrible. It's awful. It's political violent. You know, there's many things about it. But it's one in a series of, you know, events, both politically directed violence as well as, you know, larger social upheaval, change, tension that has just pervaded the color, the tenor, the experience of, I think, all of us And that kind of touches on the idea of what people talk about when they talk about zeitgeist, which is kind of a fancy, very academic word, but it is used by, well, probably academic people, but
it's German, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, and it comes, German, you know, I at some point knew but it speaks to, you know, the spirit of the times, like what is the general feeling that's out there.
The mood, the atmosphere.
You can't really put your finger on it. It's very difficult to hone down. It's very difficult to nail down.
German meaning spirit of the age.
There you go. Spirit of the age. That, by the way, that voice is the voice of our producer.
Oh, hi.
Dedalia. Hi.
Hey. I came out of the gate running.
I'm a middle child, so I'm used to being ignored.
You're literally middle here, yes.
So I've heard the term, like, listening to, you know, different people talking about things being used pretty, you know, regularly these days. And I used to hear it when I was in school and studying and things. But it's so appropriate for the usage now, because I think everybody feels, you know, in talking with people, my clients, my family, my friends, there's definitely a feeling that is out there. And it's not a, I would say it's not a good one. I mean.
No, I think people experience being overwhelmed and being flooded. Mm-hmm, and I think that's intentional. I think, you know, when someone, this is going to make me sound like I'm anti-Trump, but, you know, when he comes out and does all these executive orders right off the bat, the day he's elected, he issues 150 executive orders or whatever, somewhere in that neighborhood. And you can pick, you know, you said, you know, kind of isolate what you want to, mm-hmm. you know, pay attention to, because
the echo chamber we talked about.
I mean, yeah, you break down these different populations. So if you're Hispanic, if you're a woman, if you're gay, if you're anti-gun violence, you know, all of these different populations get triggered, so to speak, in one way or the other, and it boosts their anxiety and can push them into either a kind of a helpless, hopeless kind of stance or into a stance of just rage, but not knowing what to do about it.
And that's, I think,
mental health.
Yeah. And I think that's the important connection between, you know, the macro, the things that are happening on a larger scale, mm-hmm. and how it filters into the micro. These things impact, you know, individual people, communities, which is meso, but, mm-hmm. And have a real effect on people, both positive and negative. I mean, there's, you know, it can lead communities. I mean, in past, like, adversity or difficulty can bring people together. You know, it can sharpen or it can hone relationships that are supportive, and people seek out things that are not only comforting, but also help them to make sense of what's going on in a way that is meaningful to them. But then it can also be so negative. It can be scary, terrifying, marginalizing, you know, and this is how it can influence people's experience. Mm-hmm. But then the macro stuff that's also really important is policy, you know, policy changes. This is what the, you know, with RFK and the hearings are, that mm-hmm. the changes that are being made on that level they filter down. The downstream effects, which is a term you'll hear a lot, meaning the changes that are made in the here and now will then impact huge amounts of programming. Medicaid, Medicare, access to vaccines is a huge topic of conversation. And yeah, these
real,
things,
real consequences.
These things have enormous impacts on people. And you'll hear the stories.
Measles.
I can't. Well, Orin, I went to my, you know, this week I went to the pharmacy. I've heard folks in Texas going to pharmacy and they can't get the COVID vaccine. They want the COVID mm-hmm. vaccine. Mm-hmm. And the pharmacist won't give it to them because they don't have documentation from their healthcare provider. They don't have a qualifying health condition. There's a lot of confusion about what that is, what the policy is, how that impacts federal U.S. policy versus state policy. These are very important things that provide people the framework to be able to access and to interact with healthcare. Mm-hmm. And when you have a leader, the top leader, who is making changes, which changes are changes, but chaotic, not understood, not reasoned, not transparent, that leads
and
to
not,
real
not,
effects.
Not based on science, you know, not based on science.
Well, I didn't want to necessarily go there, but there is that. It's the chaos that is, if you have a point of view, and that was some of the things that came out in the hearing. If you're making these decisions based on evidence, based on data, based on, then please present that information, and it's coming, and we're doing that.
It's interesting because it hasn't necessarily filtered down to mental health yet, but I think it will. I anticipate that it will at some point. I will tell this story. I'm in therapy, and my therapist a few months ago said, hey, do you mind? I use AI for my sessions now. Would you mind if I use AI to record our session, and I use it to write my notes? And I said, well, right off the bat, I have two problems with that. And one is, one thing we do know, research-wise, that anything that's observed changes the thing itself. Mm. So our interaction is going to change in some way. The second thing that I'm concerned about is it's one more step towards insurance, you know, going on a case-by-case, session-by-session basis to say, we'll pay for this session because it was fruitful. Mm-hmm. We're not going to pay for this session because we don't think you're working on the goals that are stated in your previous treatment plan or something like that.
Well, this is not new. I think this sort of thing has happened many times with insurance companies. And insurance companies have a huge piece in this.
Yeah. Well, insurance companies, big pharma, a lot of the larger corporations, which the current administration seems to service the corporations more so than the individuals in the population, although they do a great job, again, controlling the narrative that we're about you. These other people are the bad people. You know, these are the people we need to get rid of.
I would say they embrace the wellness industry, and the wellness industry, I think they would say, no, we don't do anything with big pharma. We don't want big pharma. What we want is, and what has been historically, RFK as well as a lot of his supporters, there is a wellness product involved.
Can you
define that?
So supplements,
don't understand.
Supplements.
Yeah, okay.
This product is it's natural. It's not pharmaceutically created.
It is what I thought. I just wanted clarification.
Yeah. You know, kind of the blanket term is the wellness industry, which is a huge, huge, ginormous industry. Huge. Yeah.
So the meso or the miso, mm-hmm. sometimes you pronounce it miso.
Well, I don't, miso is like the soup, like miso soup. So I'm like, it's M-E-S-O.
I would call it meso.
Do I need to look this one up?
But this, so community-based kind of stuff, or what's it look like in your neighborhood on a day-by-day basis,
Right.
As you notice poverty increase, do you notice more people staying on the corners?
Absolutely. And what are community organizations that are involved in, mental health treatment? So CMH would be a huge one, like community mental health in the Clinton, Eaton, Ingham. One thing I've also been thinking a lot of is the Medicaid changes that are part of the one big, beautiful bill. And those are, some changes will be happening, but the major changes are going to happen after the midterms in, I guess that'll be 2026, right? So not sure that was coincidental.
It's pronounced meh.
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 Meh. Meh.
Mezzo.
Mezzo. Okay. We're both
like
wrong,
mezzo but. Soprano. Or. Mezzo. So I think the estimate is 750,000 people will lose Medicaid in Michigan.
Man, oh man.
So that's 750,000 people who will not have insurance that did have insurance. Yeah. And
that'll have a big impact on the neighborhood for sure.
And particularly mental health. So a lot of people access mental health through Medicaid services.
Yeah.
And the idea is that mental health issues come with poverty. This is not general, but there is an association with, we call social determinants of health, with poor health outcomes. So housing issues, being unhoused, homeless, housing unstable, this leads to stress, this leads to lots of problems.
At least they can still get guns.
Well, and this influences mental health.
I'm sorry.
since it's been season two, Mike has just been punchy.
He's unhinged.
He's like,
I'm the.
You ain't stabbing me.
No, there's no stopping me.
Poverty, food access. So there's more. Healthcare access, transportation, utilities, all of these things that influence the quality of somebody's life.
Right.
Yeah.
And having poor access to them, it's going to negatively impact. So community organizations that fill the gaps in for that. Homeless shelters and
churches,
support groups or community centers. There's lots and lots of
NAMI,
things.
NAMI, National Association for Mental Illness.
Yeah, so these are the community-based things that step up in times of crisis. And, there's always a presence. But
suicide hotline.
Yes.
Is it 811? Is that
988.
988. Okay, let's look that up again.
I'll hear that. You guys keep going.
Warming shelters, cooling shelters, during times of issues.
988.
There's all these places in the community that can positively impact. And then, of course, there's Moms for Liberty comes to mind, these more controversial. And there's also, certainly liberal groups that are more extreme, that may be more problematic. Or
there's a new rescue mission being built on Walnut and Kalamazoo, I believe. It's going to house or care for twice as many people as what they've had.
So I think this is the mission. It's the new iteration of the mission, which is on Michigan and has been for many years.
Right.
So the access to those, the funding of those, because another thing that happens when policy changes, people don't have access to health care, people don't have access to food benefits like SNAP, the community takes a hit. The community is on the hook for helping those who need help because they're not getting it from the federal or the state level.
And I don't know to what extent, this is kind of a big left turn, but it's another thing that's very pressing in other cities, but I don't know to what extent we've seen ICE in this community. You know, people that are rounding up supposedly violent gang members, but what we've seen is they've wound up rounding up all kinds of different people who are brown, basically. Sometimes they're students in colleges who've written papers that are against the administration. That was a kind of a famous case that occurred a number of months ago. And I don't know that that's happened so much in Lansing, but the idea they've put on this huge push to give this incredible budget to ICE that's going to be larger than the entire federal prison system currently has, and giving them $50,000 signing bonuses for people to sign up to be ICE agents. So basically, here's a year's salary up front if you can come and do this. So they're really trying to create a kind of an atmosphere that could potentially target homeless people at some point. It's criminalizing homelessness as well.
So this was another thing that I've been thinking about, because, you know, with the National Guard presence in Washington, D.C., which started in Washington, D.C., but now has spread to Chicago and, L.A., I guess, was the first one. And then I think I read Memphis is the projected next one. So I was hearing a lot of people on social media, and honestly, I don't spend a lot of time on social media because it rots your brain. That might be controversial, but it rots my brain.
That's one thing I can agree with you on for sure. I'm done. Yeah.
It rotted my brain. But people would say, you know, there's no homeless people left in Washington, D.C. They've just, you know, the problem has been solved overnight.
They're in Guatemala now.
Where are these homeless people? You know, if this is actually true, that problem was not solved overnight. Right. That problem was moved. That problem was transcendentalized into something else, but that isn't magic. So what is happening? What is Alligator Alcatraz? What are these things that are happening? And of course, I've been thinking about this, but for some reason that the comments of like, there's just no more homeless people. Whether or not that actually is even true, I was just like, that is not true. Yeah. It's just not true. So we have to, I find it imperative with my background, my training, my education to utilize my brain to, you know, help for myself to understand. I mean, for myself really to understand, because I am perturbed. I am upset. I am triggered, if that is the language that somebody wants to use. But I seek understanding of WTF is going on.
A psychodelicious conversation is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is no substitute for therapy and should not be treated as such. If you feel a need for real therapy, you should consult your local provider, Google therapy or therapists in your area, check with community mental health or a suicide hotline if you are feeling suicidal.
Mike and Morgan welcome your questions, feedback, or dilemmas. Feel free to send us an email at apsychodeliciousconversation@gmail.com. That is a psychodelicious, psychodeliciousconversation@gmail.com.
The views expressed on this podcast are solely the opinions of Mike Stratton and Morgan Bowen, and do not reflect the views or opinions of any site broadcasting this podcast. Replication of this podcast without written permission is strictly prohibited. This has been LCC Connect Weekly, a presentation of LCC Connect, a podcast network developed by Lansing Community College. Production and sound engineering for LCC Connect Weekly and its podcasts are provided by Dedalian Lowry and Brendan Skipper. Our theme song, Start a New Day, is performed by Samuel Biggs and licensed through DeWolf Music. To hear today's featured podcasts on demand, learn more about the network, become a guest, or explore ways to get involved, visit us anytime at lccconnect.com.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.